I have a really important question for you today. Do you use emojis? Yes, everyone said yes. Who doesn't use emojis? Liars, you guys are liars. They're really a big part of our lives today, aren't they? It's really important that we use emojis. That's the way we communicate these days. That's the way we communicate our love, the way we communicate our care. We want people to heal. We want people to pray for each other. I'm Keith Harcum. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we are in week 3 of our series, How I Love You, specifically, How We Love God. What is it that I can do to show that I love God? How can I love you, God? What is it that I can do? We know His grace has been given to us so that we can love God, but what can I now do to communicate my love to God? In week 1, we talked about acting justly, loving mercy, and about being a humble people looking for God at work in our lives. In week 2, Pastor Kathy last week talked about care and talked about how we can care for each other. And we use these emojis. So in the first service, they were really good at this. So week 1, we used love, the heart. You guys can all do it. I've got 2 people doing it. You guys can all do it. Yeah, okay. Love. You know the loved one. That's what you did when you couldn't say hi to each other during COVID. You couldn't shake the hands. Yeah, you just all did this, right? And then last week, we talked about care. So you guys can do this. How we care for one another really matters. And Pastor Kathy talked about how wouldn't it be wonderful if this church was known for being a caring church. Like, oh, yeah, those people love Jesus because they are a caring church. And this week, we'll talk about heal. Yeah, who uses the healing? Who uses the healing? Well, it's kind of new. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And then next week, we'll talk about prayer. Who uses that one? Yeah, everyone uses that. Even the pagans use that, right? That's another sermon for another day. Right. So there are, but you know the one is used universally across the entire world. You know the one that's used the most? What? Somebody said one? Not a smile. No, it's not a smiley face. You know what it is? No, it's not the heart. It's the laughy face. That is the most used emoji in the world. Praise God, right? But emojis are really important part of our lives, and we use them all the time. Today, we're talking about healing. Now, the healing emoji hasn't been out long in the history of the healing emojis. In fact, when we used to post things on social media, it was kind of trivial at first. It was like, ha-ha, this is a funny joke kind of thing, and you give a thumbs up, or you give the heart, you know, and you'd say, oh, that's funny, or I really like that. And now, when September 2000, when the Emoji 13.1 series came out, yeah, that's when this heal came in, the heal emoji came in, because people were posting things that were a lot more serious. People were saying, pray for me, I'm going into surgery. My mother went into hospital last night. I have no idea what's going on. Yeah, I just lost my great-grandfather. Would you pray for me? And so people wanted them, you're not going to put a thumbs up or a heart. So people now use the healing emoji. And we want people to heal. Healing comes to us in all sorts of different ways. Some of you are sitting here thinking, yeah, I would really like some healing in my mental side of my life, what I think about myself and what I am constantly playing around in my head. Some of us are like healing in our emotions. Like sometimes we have these emotions and we just don't understand them. What is that emotion? Some of us would just long for some healing in our relationships, in our family, amen? And some of us would love some healing with God the Father ourselves, in our spirituality. Would like some healing in some unsettled area in our lives. Where is that for you today? Where is it for you today that you need healing? Or maybe there was something that happened in the past that you were looking for some healing, and somebody turned up or something happened that said to you, actually, I want you to have healing in your life. That God showed up and was like a tangible presence of God's mercy and God's awareness. And something happened in your life and said to you, oh yeah, now I know. Now that I know that God wants healing for my life. For me, it was when my father passed in 2004. It was a busy time in my life. We just had our fourth child in 17th of December 2004. We just had our fourth child. So I had four kids, and the church that I was present at the time was East Lake United Methodist Church. And at this church, I was the youth director, and I had a visit from my pastor. But I had a visit from my pastor because my father just passed 3 weeks after my fourth child was born. So I went through the usual cycle of events for grief, you know, doubting and anger, and going back and forth with God and bartering and denial. And I got stuck, though, in the anger phase, right? You ever been there? What the heck? Dad was meant to move here with my mother in the next year. They decided they were going to move to Florida. And now he's gone? Now he's dead? What the heck? I was angry. And I got a visit from my pastor, Pastor Bruce, who became a friend and a mentor. But for a change, when he came around my house, he didn't say anything. He kept his mouth shut. He didn't say anything. And because he came around my house and he didn't give any pithy remarks about where Dad was, didn't give me any scripture quotes even, he was just present in my house, drinking my coffee, eating my cookies. He was just present. And that said to me that God wanted me to heal. I could have spun off in my anger. I could have spun off in my just gone raging around doing things that were no good for me, spinning off into sin that was no good for me or my family. And not only did I get a visit from my pastor, but the church, whom had already had us on a meal train for the baby, they kept the meal train going as I lost my father and I went off to England to be with my father at his funeral. Bruce's presence showed me healing, showed me care and healing, and showed me that God wanted healing in my life. What about you? Have you had one of those moments in your life? Would you desire one of those moments once again for healing in the current situation that you are in? There is lots of healing in our Bibles. Of course, Jesus was the great physician, and he healed many people on his 3 years on earth. In fact, in John's gospel, he says, you should have seen all the people just laying on the streets being brought out to Jesus for him to heal them. In fact, there was that much healing going on. There's not enough books in the world for us to recount how many healings happened. This is how much healing went on in our Bibles, not just mental healing, not emotional relationships, but physical and spiritual healings. But today we are going to look at what James said about healing and how we love God. We're going to go to James chapter 5. It's towards the back of your book. If you've got an old-fashioned book, it's at James chapter 5. If you've got an app, just pull it up there, James 5. Google it if you've got Google and you're watching online. James chapter 5 is where we are. Although today we're going to do it a little bit differently, and this is so you guys pay attention, you don't scroll through your phone while you're on it, right? Yeah, but we're going to do it from back to front. So we're going to go to the very last couple of verses in the chapter 5 of James. James, how do we love God? And James was obviously the half-brother of Jesus. Jesus and James had the same mother. And so, you know, they had a bitter sibling rivalry. You know, can you imagine having your brother being Jesus? I mean, There's a lot going on there. But he wrote this book and became a follower later on, and he became a devoted follower of Jesus and his teaching. So let's see what James got to say. We're going to start at verse 19. We're going to put it on the screen for you as well. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about forgiveness of many sins. So here's the first thing that I am going to say that James should have said earlier on. The first thing we should do is to woo people back to relationship with God. Whoever wanders away from this relationship or this truth. Now, if you're in love with somebody and then you wander away, you have a row, you don't particularly love them anymore, it doesn't just happen there, right? It just doesn't stop. It takes a while for that love and that love to dissipate and for it to wander away or meander off. And sometimes we know some people that have wandered away from the faith, have wandered away from being in love with God again. And what does James say we should do? He says, if someone is, you can be sure that whoever brings them back from wandering will save that person. Now, this is not to be done in a way that makes people feel bad. Nobody ever felt good about getting back to a relationship with God if people were being judgmental and mean. He says, woo them back. Woo them back to a right relationship with God. Woo them back and invite them to a place where they can engage with God once again. Sure, invite them around to church, invite them for coffee, invite them to their favorite game or whatever it is. Woo people, invite people back to a relationship with God. My understanding is probably everybody here wants a relationship with God, amen? And by your presence, you are telling me that. My inclination is probably that there are some other people that you would also like to see sitting with you here. Amen? And my grandmother or your mother saying to you, you haven't been to church lately? Never works, right? Or somebody looking at your Bible saying, I see it's not very dusty. Kept it in the corner. It really doesn't help with those pithy words. Invite them and woo them back to relationship with God. Help them understand what they're missing out on. Bring them back. It says bring the sinner back. And what do we do this for? So we can tell others what's going on? Hey, that was me. I invited that person back right there. I checked that up on my little board. Hey, that was me. No, we do it for a main reason. What does the scripture say? We do it so that we save that person from death. Death in two areas. Death both to any more sinning equaling death. We don't want people to continue on in spirals that equal death eventually. But more than anything, death to a relationship with God. So we invite people. The way we love God is we invite people back to this relationship that you have with God. And how many people should we do that with? Let's start with one. Let's start with one person. Invite a person that you know, thinking about right now. Invite that person back. Okay, so that's the first thing we're going to do. We're going to invite and woo and entice people back to a relationship with God. The second thing we're going to do is in verse 16. So we've done 19 through 20, but backing up a little, verse 16. Confess your sins to each other. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. So the second thing we do is confess. And then he goes on to say, Elijah was a human as we are, and yet when he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain and the earth began to yield its crops. So the second thing we do is confess. Confess to one another. Don't confess to the public clerk. Don't confess to the person in Chick-fil-A when you're driving through. Confess to someone who wants to hear. That friend you have that wants you to do so well, that friend that wants you to be in a relationship with God, grab hold of that person and be like, oh, I'm so glad you're in my life. I wanna tell you something. And then the next verse says something that some people like to quote occasionally to say that God's gonna give them whatever they want. It says that the prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful truth. The power of the righteous person is related to the confessing. If you confess to someone, that person says, oh man, I'm so sorry you're going through that. Let me pray for you. And they pray for you. And that prayer has power. And it restores them to faith, it says. It brings wonderful results. The prayer of a righteous person brings wonderful results. And then he quotes Elijah and says, yeah, it stopped raining for 3.5 years when Elijah prayed. And then he prayed and then it rained. But the miracle was not in the fact that it rained or stopped raining. The miracle is the fact that when Elijah prayed, it happened. So the prayers of a person who wants the best for your life, the prayers of a person who cares about what this sin is doing for your life are powerful. And that's the power that we know in confessing our sins. And when we confess sins to one another, it's not so that we can like to put it all over the world on the internet, put it on the socials kind of things, like guess what so-and-so did. It's not even so that we talk amongst our circles, oh yeah, I know what's going on in her life. It's not even so we get one up on the person that you've been comparing yourself to him all your life. It's so that you can share with that person and they can experience a new part of life. And when we confess our sins to one another, that has power. And this is how we love God. Something new happens. Something powerful happens when we confess our sins to God. So that's the second thing. The first thing is entice, woo people. The second thing is confess our sins to one another. The third thing I want to say is in verse 13. So we're going to back up a little bit more to the last chunk of scripture. Are any of you suffering hardships? Verse 13. You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you. You should anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Are you suffering hardships? What should we do if we're suffering hardships? He says, pray. Are any of you happy? You don't have hardships. There's nothing going on in your life. There's nobody that needs healing. You're content. You've got everything you need in life. If so, you're happy. Amen? Rejoice and give God the glory. If there's nothing going on in your life and you can step up in the morning, it's like, oh, I'm breathing. This is so good. And you walk to the bathroom and you go to the bathroom, everything works. Everything comes out. You turn on the light. You're feeling really good about life. You step downstairs. You get the serious like, wow, my life is great. I'm going to bless somebody else. I'm going to help somebody else know this peace and joy that I have. Amen? Wow, what a great life I have. And then we help others. We help others to know this healing power. We help others. Are you in need? I'm sure you know. Just a quick poll. How many of you have somebody who's sick in your life right now that you would love to see healed? Quick hands up. Mostly everybody. If not, I'm sure there's a friend. I'm sure there's somebody in your life that you would like to see healed. if you are rejoicing and everything's just dandy, everything's just fine, pray for the person who needs healing. Pray for that person. That's what it says. If you are sick, you have power. I was just texting people before I got up here. If they're sick and they can't make it here, they have the power to ask you, the elders of the church, and those we commissioned last week to be carers and prayers, to ask them for prayer. That's what it's about. Is there any power in prayer? I mean, surely we've got everything we need these days with regards to hospitals and people that can help us get better. We've got all these advancements in medical care. We've got doctors with every particular like narrow field ever in life. We don't need prayer, right? The National Institute of Health didn't mention in their clinical trials for a long time prayer. And then in 1999, the American Medical Association did a clinical trial in a private university hospital. And the students there wanted to determine whether remote intercessory prayer for the hospitalized, those in the cardiac patients area, whether it would reduce the overall adverse events and length of stay. 999 consecutive patients that were newly admitted to the CCU were tested on. They were prayed for by a team of people who knew them only by name. Patients were unaware that they were being prayed for. They'd never met them. They'd never seen them before. And the conclusions from this clinical trial were that the intercessory prayer was associated with lower CCU course scores. This result suggests that prayer may be an effective adjunct to standard medical care. Woo! Amen! Amen! Yes! Hey, that's interesting that they found out that it took them years and years. They didn't mention prayer for years in their studies. And what they found out is what I found out in my Bible when I was about 5 years old. Amen? Prayer works. Thank you. Prayer works. And because prayer works, we work when we are able to be that vessel. Even by just being present for people, even by caring for people who are sick. We had somebody come up to us before the service and say, I had to take my dad to the hospital this morning at 4 a.m. I said, oh, thank you for being here for me. Be present for people. My wife is up in Boston this weekend to be with her aunt who's got a brain aneurysm. She's present with her. She's providing healing with her. Hi, Rose. Rose is right here watching. Go visit the sick and go to the hospital. If you can't go in the hospital, go to their home and say, I'm praying for you. Everything's going great in my life now. How can I be of healing to you? What is it that I can do for you? If you're like me and you talk a lot, don't say anything for a change. Sit there and be present. If you need to say something, if the person wants you to pray with them, pray like this. Say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the healing properties in my body, the amazing healing thing that's going on in my life right now and your bodies is fascinating even to fathom. We have these healing properties. Thank you, Lord, for them. And if they're not working, be thankful for doctors and nurses and machines that help us get better. Jesus said, you are amazed at what I am doing today. You will do greater things than these. And we are doing that. Amen. I'm so thankful for hospitals and nurses and advances in medicine, advances in surgery. If none of that's working, thank God that we can talk to him and ask God for a miracle. And say, God, I pray for a miracle. Somebody came up in the first service and said to me, I had these people around me. I was diagnosed with a brain aneurysm. I had these people around me. And because I knew they were there praying for me, I believe I was healed. That was 3 years ago. Praise God. The way we love God is to heal. And you might need to heal somewhere before you heal someone else. At the end of the scripture, or at the end of the section that I led you to, he said, anoint one another. It's a symbol. When we anoint each other with oil, it's just a symbol that says we believe in the power of God to heal us. And I want to invite you today to be healed. I want to invite you to come down the front and be healed. We'll just anoint you with some oil. Maybe there's somewhere in your life where you need healing. Maybe it's a mental healing. Maybe there's some neuron paths that need realigning to help you understand that God loves you, likes you, and you're cherished. Maybe there's an emotional thing. There's some emotions you have, and you're like, I don't know why I have these emotions, and they need healing. Maybe there's a relationship in your family that you would love reconciling. Maybe there's an actual physical need that you need to be healed from. And your relationship with God, and how important that is, you need healing there. What is it? And today, I want you to know that healing. And if you're sitting there and you're saying, well, I don't need healing, I'm good, I got everything figured out, God's got me, I'm good, then rejoice. Sit there and rejoice. Sit there and rejoice and be glad that your life is great, that you don't need this healing. Maybe if you know that, but you know somebody that you would be so happy if they were healed, come representing them. I'll be representing someone who can't make it today. Come needing healing. Pastor Kathy and I will be here, and others, I'm going to invite them down now to be anointers. And the altar, the stairway is open for you to come down and be anointed. And we'll pray with you and pray for you. But the way we love God today is to heal. Come, the altar is open.